What up, though? And welcome to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and beyond. I am your host, Norris Howard. I'm joined by the wonderful people out there at the UNLV studios, Daniel Agbuye and Jacob Brothers. What's going on, guys?
Hey there. Hi there.
What's up?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a really big story right off the bat here. There is a potential class action lawsuit in the great country of Canada against Epic Games and Fortnite. Now, a group of parents have gone on and contacted Calex Legal, or I'm not sure if it's Calais Legal, you know, French stuff. But they've reached out to that law firm and have stated that Fortnite has taken over their children's lives and that they have created a dependency on the game. They've said that the game is just as addictive as tobacco and cocaine, and they are looking for restitution of an undisclosed and unspecified dollar amount that the game has taken everything from their kids' lives. Now, here's the thing. We are not talking about microtransactions or loot boxes. I've been seeing a lot of chatter about that. That is not what this is about. They're saying that the very design, the core mechanics of the game are addictive. So, guys, I want to throw this out there to you. What is your reaction to this story? And do you think legally that this has any legs to stand on?
Fortnite is similar to tobacco and cocaine. That was literally written down on a piece of paper. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what's a good way to turn off Fortnite? Unplug the dang console. Guys, be a parent. You can easily curb this addiction by just saying, hey, stop playing to your kids. I honestly don't think this lawsuit will have any legs to stand on, because if you know, the moment if this actually goes through, the door is open. Anyone can sue anyone for anything.
Well, people are very good at having kids and then not knowing what to do with them. Whoa! And this is a prime example of that. I mean, that's the way it is, right? But it's also like the wording is that it's addictive to very young children. It was designed to be very addictive. And if you're going to use that phrasing to have a lawsuit against a video game, then you could sue every Nintendo game for existing.
You can sue Overwatch, you can sue League of Legends.
Yeah, so
Any video game.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my kid likes this, I hate you. It's just like, yeah, every kid go outside. Like, it's really not that hard of a problem.
It really isn't.
No, it's not. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. Well, both of you, honestly, because if this were to go through, the precedent is very dangerous. Because, I mean, the basics of any successful good is that it's addictive. And it creates a endorphin trigger. It makes people happy. You want to do it again and again and again. And, I mean, that is the very core mechanic or the core theory behind something like a gameplay loop, where you create something that rewards the player. The player is then triggered. They love to do it. They want to go do it again. And you could say the same thing about any successful video game out there. I think this is very different from the predatory loot box or, you know, microtransaction argument, because that is something, one, that requires money and, you know, definitely, you know, depends upon the same triggers as gambling. This is not what we're talking about here. This is something completely different.
And I want to mention one other thing, that, you know, whenever there's cases of, like, game addiction or things like that, they're using game addiction as a scapegoat. There's usually another more serious underlying problem with these people that causes them to have this kind of addictive tendency towards a video game. There's something that they're not paying attention to, and I think that's an issue also.
Well, no, some people are addicted to video games, and for some people it does ruin their lives, but they're using those few examples as to address the majority.
Yes.
And that's the problem. But I'm also pretty convinced that everyone involved with this story is no younger than 40. I'm also pretty confident on that theory.
You know what?
I'd be inclined to agree with that. And it just reeks of a lack of context. And to say that something is addictive as cocaine and tobacco, things that have actually killed people from, you know, overdose or from, you know, lung cancer, throat cancer. I just think that's a very dangerous conflation. I think that's very irresponsible of this particular law firm to use that sort of wording within this lawsuit. And I don't think this will go through, because if it does, I just find it to be incredibly dangerous. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on, because we can stick on this all day. So Riot is actually expanding their collegiate League of Legends season. So as you know, League of Legends, one of the biggest esports in the world, has a very robust collegiate system, and they're deciding to make it even larger. They're expanding the rosters for every team from 6 to 10. They said that they want to be able to give teams as many options as possible for swapping players out, as well as, you know, just the general mental health of some of their players. So they're going to allow every team that is confirmed and registered to have 10 players, so that's two starting teams of five. So I think that's really intelligent for them. They've also said that they will be increasing the system from 8 to 32 teams, and they will be eliminating play-in games. So instead, teams will advance to the collegiate championship based on their showing in conference tournaments. So there will be a intra-conference tournament that will be going on, and that will determine qualification for the big dance in League of Legends. Also, they will be expanding the scholarship offerings, and this is really great news, guys. So for the champions, each player will be getting a $10,000 scholarship for being a starting player, $5,000 if you are a substitute, and for second place will be $6,000 and $3,000, and then $3,000 and $1,500 going down into the lower placings. So registration for that will begin on November 1st. And if you were unfamiliar, Maryville University were the 2018 champions of Collegiate League of Legends. So guys, I mean, this sounds like great news, yeah?
10 grand to win in a League of Legends tournament. And here I am trying to fill essays for, you know, $500.
Right. No, this is pretty great. It is kind of cool and interesting how they're getting rid of play-ins. Because I know, like, for the Overwatch Varsity Series, which is kind of like the counterpart to this for collegiate scenes, they have a whole system for their play-in. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting how, like, the other, like, big esport is kind of eliminating a big part of that game.
I think it works well for them, actually, because, you know, this kind of shows that, you know, you're going to have only the best of the best from each conference that show up for this tournament.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like the finity of it, where it's like, there's 32 teams.
Yep.
It's like, that's awesome. That's great. Makes it a lot easier to follow.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was the biggest reason for making this decision is making the entire system easier to follow. But lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about a massive tournament for the Smash community that took place in my hometown of Detroit. I was able to go and check it out. That is the Big House, which is one of the biggest Smash tournaments in the world. And let me tell you guys, it was absolutely awesome, absolutely amazing. Of course, the two top games were Smash Ultimate and Smash Melee. Japanese player Zachary was able to take top honors in Smash Ultimate. And one of the five gods of Smash, Mango from Cloud9, was able to be victorious over other Smash gods like Hungrybox and other top players like Leffen in Melee. And let me tell you, I was down on Melee. I didn't think Melee had any reason for being around now that Smash Ultimate was out. Let me tell you, I was wrong. I was wrong. I gotta admit this. I was wrong. Smash Melee was such a good tournament. It was so exciting. The top flight competition was there. And it has a space, guys. It's a different game, and it has a space for sure.
Get over yourself, Melee fans. There's my hot take.
Yeah, no, I echo that take.
Listen, I'm not going to belabor this, but God, I can't believe you're saying this, Daniel. As a FGC guy, how dare you take a game away from a community that has carried around old CT monitors for the better part of a decade and almost drove GameCube controllers into extinction? That's dedication, man. All right? I would never say that to that community, man. I was wrong. Melee is here to stay.
Yeah, that's a weird way to say stubbornness.
GameCube controllers are the only good thing to survive past Melee. Mm-hmm. Not the game itself.
Listen, I can't believe you guys are saying this, and I'm so disappointed. But anyway, we want to hear from you guys. Are you big into the Smash community, or are you excited to see League of Legends expand? We want to know all the stuff. Let us know what's going on your campus. CheckpointXP.com is the website. But we're going to have more coming up from Checkpoint XP on campus. We're going to talk about the Collegiate Rocket League series, so stay with us. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and beyond. Your host, Norris Howard, here. But we want to know what's going on your campus, guys. If you are a part of an esports club or an officially esports team, like officially sanctioned from your school, like the athletics department, we want to know, what's that life like? Did you get a scholarship? Do you have a really great player on your campus in Overwatch? Let us know all that good stuff. You can slide on over to CheckpointXP.com, hit that on campus tab, and there's going to be all sorts of information that you could plug in and let us know the scene wherever you are. So, we want to talk a little bit about Collegiate Rocket League. It's a big deal, guys. One of the easiest esports in the world to watch. One of the biggest followings in the college space. So, guys, I mean, Rocket League is a big deal. I know you guys may not be too familiar with it, but, I mean, it's a big deal for a reason in college, isn't it?
I mean, you know, I followed Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars when it first came out, but I think Rocket League is a good spiritual successor.
Yeah, all
Daniel,
the dozen
what
fans.
Is that?
God bless them. God bless them.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway. That was terrible. But anyway, you know, the Collegiate series is now in week two. The wheat is sort of separating from the chaff, and the top teams are really starting to, you know, get away from the rest of the squads in the series. So I want to let you guys know who are the top teams to follow. Maybe check out who you should be watching if you want to just, you know, be that person and only follow the teams that are winning and not focus on your local team. So, in the East, we've got Grand Valley State in Michigan, the University of Michigan. We got University of Waterloo, which is Ontario, Canada, Akron University of Ohio, and Stockton University of New Jersey. So, as you can see, there's a lot of Midwest Great Lakes representation in that sphere for Rocket League. So, I mean, this whole concept of not putting your esport in the Midwest for franchising, I think you guys need to rethink that, because Michigan is here to stay. I'm telling you right now, baby, we ain't going nowhere.
Activision, but you listening?
They better be.
Well, but I agree with that take.
Out in the West Coast, or not necessarily, just in the Western Conference, we've got Louisiana State, we've got North Texas, Nebraska, University of Arlington, and the University of Arizona as your top teams in the West. So, guys, with those schools laid out for you, and with the sort of format being already laid out, if there's a team that you guys want to pick and follow, and I will hold you to this until the end of the season, who are you picking? Go right now.
Okay, I'm going to go with Nebraska because I want to see a team from Nebraska win the Western Conference.
Oh, boy. I'd probably go with either University of Michigan or Arizona because those are schools that have been popping up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I am glad that in Rocket League we already have, it's not Ohio State, but it's still an Ohio and Michigan rivalry, and I love that we already have that, like, right out the gate mm-hmm. of an esports tournament. But, yeah, no, a lot of the Midwest does show up all the time.
Yeah.
And I do think that is really cool, and it is weird how we don't have any Overwatch League team or any of that in Ohio or Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little odd. Mm.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, because especially when it comes to, you know, even the bigger esports like League of Legends or Overwatch, you do have Midwestern teams that continue to pop up and show up. And I'm not sure if it's because it gets cold for half the year and you can't really do anything but play video games. But I definitely think that that's a major factor, and maybe some of these big franchising esports should look at that. But I think it's heartening to see so many different schools, because we were concerned about seeing representation from certain schools that have multiple teams. There's not a repeat team in this top five. So you're not seeing Utah in spots 1, 4, and 5. You're not seeing Ohio State in spots, you know, 3 and 4. So you're seeing parity in Rocket League, and I think that's a good thing, and it shows that this is still a setup that might be sustainable. But that's going to be it for that. We're going to slide out, and we're going to talk about some more stuff later coming up here on Checkpoint XP on campus. Jacob, the brain, the professor of Collegiate Overwatch, is going to be giving us the latest in the Varsity Series. And we're also going to be talking about what is it actually like to go to school for an esports scholarship. That and more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and beyond. We're going to throw it right back to the UNLV studios in just a moment, but we want to make sure that you guys are sliding over to Checkpoint XP on campus, where you can see all of our wonderful merch. We got jerseys, we got cups, hats, visors, all the stuff that you will need to look like the flyest person in existence on your campus and represent the brand. Checkpoint XP on campus and checkpointxp.com. Again, check out all the merch. It really is really cool, guys. But back at the UNLV studios, Jacob is going to let us know the lowdown for the Overwatch Varsity Series. So, Jacob, what happened this week, man?
Tell us, Professor Brothers.
Oh, it is my big brain time. Okay, so for the first time ever, it makes sense. It's simple.
Yay!
It's straightforward. We made it.
Okay. We made it.
We did it, guys.
No more crying. Just me? We're finally at the Invitational, So the big time is here. All the big teams that we thought were going to be there are there. All the teams that we talked about, awesome. But there's 16 teams, and it's just 8 in the West, 8 in the East, top 4 of both groups, go.
Okay.
That's it. Simple as that. And then the bottom 4 in each go into a play-in tournament, but we can just talk about that when that happens, because that's a ways away. So, in the West, our top teams are University of Texas Dallas,
okay,
Irvine, University of North Texas, and the Academy of Art University. And so it's kind of important to notice that they've only played 2 games. Some of them have only played 1. So teams that are at the very top or teams that are at the very bottom could easily change next week.
It's still way too early to call.
Yeah, because they're just playing 2 games a week. Yeah. So no panic button for any of these teams yet. But it is nice to start out strong. In the East, we have Maryville, University of Missouri, Winthrop, and Central Florida. And so there's a couple surprises, but with that same game caveat, because University of Utah, who we had ranked 2nd, is an 8th in the West. Hmm. Harrisburg, you know, the school that we said is the juggernaut, is 5th in the East.
Whoa.
And Northeastern, Northeastern was one of the teams that came out of the qualifiers. They're also an 8th in the East. So, again, no panic button. But the team that beat Harrisburg was Winthrop. Hmm. The team that's their first outing as an esports Overwatch esports program.
Their first outing is Overwatch esports, and they just took out one of the biggest juggernauts.
They took out the juggernaut. Well, I mean, they're not taken out, but like they beat them. Yeah,
they got a win over them.
Yeah, no, it was David versus Goliath, and also Rutgers is 6th in the East, and they were another team to come out of qualifiers. So, I'd say, well, a lot of these teams are teams that we didn't even like in the West, like Texas. Awesome.
There are a lot of teams.
Two Texas teams right out the gate. That's pretty great. There's Irvine.
Shout out to Irvine.
Yeah, man. I mean, friend of the show. We can't be too surprised about Irvine.
No, we can't.
No, so, you know, what I'm seeing from this is, you know, it is very early on. You know, we definitely could see a resurgence from Harrisburg and Northeastern and the other top teams. But we're seeing parity. And again, I'm feeling like this is a thread with collegiate esports outside of Texas, because it seems that Texas is just a part of the mix no matter what. But we're seeing parity. And I think that's a really great thing, especially in a game like Overwatch, where, I mean, the dominant teams can be really dominant if there's not enough quality teams. So I really love seeing the fact that we're seeing a lot of different names, and this has got to be exciting for you, Jacob, as somebody who's following this very closely.
Actually, well, once the Invitational started, I got a lot more excited, because it's much easier to wrap your head around. It's like, these are the teams that are playing who, and just top 4 go, top 4 don't. And so I'm personally rooting for Winthrop, just because it's their first outing in Overwatch.
It's a great story.
It's a great story. Although Harrisburg, I mean, they have a team of 12. Like, they have enough depth to, like, if, oh, this team didn't work, let's try the other team. They could be like the Spitfire in the inaugural season. They might have enough depth to take them there. But Winthrop currently has my heart.
Listen, so Winthrop could definitely do, you know, a Golden Knights type situation, make the playoffs in their first season. That would be really awesome. I think everybody would be super excited to see that school and that program be able to, you know, become a force in their first season. I think that'd be awesome. But that's going to be it for that, and we're going to move on and talk about some more stuff coming up next on Checkpoint XP on campus. Well, we're going to discuss and talk about PC Gamer talking to a few students about what it's actually like to go to school on an esports scholarship. That and more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and beyond. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social medias. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. And if you haven't heard, we also stream on Twitch. Checkpoint X or twitch.tv/checkpointxp is where you can find all of the shows, all of the great stuff that we do here at Checkpoint XP, including this very show, Checkpoint XP on campus. But we're going to talk about an article that was published in PC Gamer about esports scholarships and what that lifestyle is actually like. So, Daniel, walk us through the findings of this article and, you know, what the experience for some of these students was like.
You know, it's funny. We talk about, you know, how cool it is that all these schools are offering scholarships, that they're embracing esports. But we're not really, you know, this is the first time we're kind of getting a glimpse of, like, what it's actually like. There's a quote in here from Wanzu Hartaleb, who plays Overwatch for UCI. This is a really good quote here. I don't go out. Maybe I'll go out maybe once every 2 weeks with my teammates, with my friends. I practice, I play, I scrim, I practice more, I scrim, I study. That's my entire schedule. Mm-hmm. I barely have time for anything else. You know, everyone likes to, you know, would like to write off, like, you know, you're just playing video games. Like, no, you're basically, it's a full-on commitment to go to school on a video game scholarship. And it's tougher than you guys might think.
Yeah, no, I feel like when the more articles that we see like this, we just kind of have more specific points raised that we don't think of. Because mm-hmm. we've seen a couple stories now where it's like, oh, what's it like being a kid that goes to school for a video game scholarship? But it's also things like if they're not classified as an athlete, then they can't get prioritized classes.
Yeah.
So while like most athletes, it's like, well, I'm on the football team, so I need to pick a schedule that works with my practice. If you're on an esports team, you can't do that.
You don't have that same luxury. And so, you know, sometimes classes will clash with practice, and you got to learn that you'll have to have a choice of sacrifice one or the other.
Mm-hmm. And that's also...
Yeah, I think that's a really... Oh, go ahead, Daniel. Sorry. Or, yeah, Jacob.
Well, that's also like with the NCAA officially not supporting it, right? Because yeah. it's like, oh, well, they win money through their tournaments because, you know, we don't pay our players. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to touch it because of that. And, yeah, what were you going to say, Norris?
I just think that's a really important point because, you know, with, you know, athletes in college, they do get the prioritized class schedule. They're not going to, you know, conflict those class schedules with practice. And on top of that, just the prestige on a particular university's campus and everything that comes with it. You know, there's a lot of things. I don't want to say that makes life easier for a traditional athlete on a college campus, but let's not, you know, mince words here. The lifestyle is very different for a, you know, Power Five or, you know, a big conference professional, student athlete than it would be for an esports athlete. So I think the more we talk about this kind of stuff and the more, you know, official support that esports gets from schools and institutions, I think that, you know, we're going to see more stuff like this if that doesn't happen. And we're going to see a lot of people potentially wash out because they're going to be burned out unless there's a student work-life balance that's going on here.
And, you know, it's important that we get these voices out there. We need to have more players speak out with the experience, let the world know, like, hey, this is my life. It can be hard, but, you know, this is what I deal with.
You know, another thing that this article kind of touches on is toxicity, which is interesting because I feel like in general sports, like, oh, you got to be a good teammate or maybe you'll get a penalty, or like what we just saw with the Green Bay game today, mm-hmm. the other day.
Yeah.
And, but for gaming, I feel like toxicity is a much more baked-in thing. Like, it's almost part of the culture.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So I feel like a lot of esports players deal with the same toxicity that a football player would deal with, like, through social media. But for an esports player, they may be more inclined to lash back. because toxicity is just a common thing that we've all dealt with and we usually even partake in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's incredibly important, too. And I think it's important to also highlight, you know, the issues they've been having with, like, registration and, you know, the difficulties with being able to actually get the classes you need, as well as the classes that, you know, don't conflict with your schedule. But toxicity is incredibly important. And part of what this entire sort of formalization of esports and creating these new systems is supposed to do is to help root that kind of stuff out. Because when it's left up to the students, toxicity can creep its way in. So I think that's a very important point. And it'll be interesting to watch that particular issue as esports on campuses continue to mature. But that's going to be all for that story. But coming up next on Checkpoint XP on campus, we're going to try out something new. It's going to be called the Gaming Mount Rushmore. If that sounds interesting to you, you will want to stick around for this segment because it's going to be a lot of fun. That coming up next on Checkpoint XP on campus. Hey, how's it going? And now it's time for our Checkpoint XP clip of the week. Another one from Rocket League. This one's going to be Dangles with the amazing touch from Grand Valley State against U of M.
Oh, my goodness. What a use of boost. I'm surprised he had enough to even make it to that. And a beautiful transition from Dangles going
in.
Okay, I got to laugh. Dangles missed, but, you know, clearly Buddha was stunned by this touch. Oh, wait, no, it bounced in. Never mind. You're off the hook, Buddha. Dangles, you're nuts. All right.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for esports at the college level. And for the last segment of the show, we like to do a little bit of fun stuff. And we're going to play a game this week called Mount Rushmore. Each of our hosts are going to give their four greatest blank of video games. And this week, it's going to be founding franchises. These are the most foundational games in all of video games to these guys. So we're going to have Daniel, managing editor Kevin Kelly, and Jacob give those answers. And I, as the lone arbiter of this game, will pass judgment upon our fair hosts. So, Daniel, start us off. What are the most important foundational franchises in video games?
So the winning list is Super Mario, Quake, Angry Birds, and Street Fighter. Bring it on.
I mean, as long as you don't have Fatal Fury, it's a pretty good list.
We're not talking about Fatal Fury. Stop talking about Fatal Fury. Leave alone.
But I am relieved that you didn't pull out games that were, like, all games that were just old. I think Angry Birds is a really cool pick.
Well, the reason why I put that on there is because it's the start of the mobile gaming. That's why I feel like it's important to have that on there. What about you, Kevin?
Very mighty of you to even include mobile gaming in even in this the context of
Weren't you the one who tweeted that you hate mobile games?
But I recognize its importance and its impact, guys. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not important. That's, Jacob?
Sounds like some denial. But
I need you to just...
Time.
There we go.
Jeez.
All right, me up next?
Yes, Kevin, you're up next.
All Give us your wisdom.
I'm going to match your sentiment with Super Mario Bros.
Okay.
I'm also going to go with Halo.
Love it.
Grand Theft Auto, and ESPN NFL 2K5.
So why the 2K series when they don't even exist anymore?
ESPN NFL 2K5 is a single game that made EA have a little running stream down their pants, forcing them to lock up a licensing deal with the NFL for the rest of time. ESPN NFL 2K5 is a ghost that Madden has been chasing for over a decade now.
I mean, I picked games that were still alive. What's your...
What made you pick Halo over Call of Duty?
Halo... The first Halo game was called Combat Evolved, and there's literally no possible title that could be more on the nose than that. It changed first-person shooters, changed the way we look at video games. It changed everything. It was the first video game that was fully unavoidable as far as public America, like popular culture in America.
Okay.
Monday Night Football game commercials, Mountain Dew cans, all that
stuff. All right, Jacob. Why don't we give us yours?
It is my turn. All right. Well, I am in concurrence with Super Mario Brothers. And then I have World of Warcraft. Ooh. I have Minecraft, because it inspired the entire indie scene.
Of course.
And Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. Here's the problem here. Like, I don't really disagree with anything on this list.
I'm a little questionable on PUBG just because did it really start the Battle Royale?
Yeah, true.
I really think, I mean, there was like Minecraft Hunger Games.
I'm saying, it's like we might have a little bit of a redundancy.
I think PUBG was the first Battle Royale to have a vision and fully execute, where it's like, here's how the loot tables are going to work, here's how the map's going to be, here are things going to push you in that direction, and then it spawned Fortnite, spawned Apex Legends, spawned all those clones.
But what's the one that people are going to remember in the future, in the history? They're going to remember Fortnite.
They are going to remember Fortnite, but this is our founding games. And
people are going to remember Madden more than they are going to NFL 2K5.
So see you're making my point. You're invalidating your own list. You realize that, right?
No, because...
No, it's a founding game.
Exactly. They set the, it set the frame.
Oh, okay.
Time.
So, back to me. As the arbiter of the game in picking the foundational franchises of Mount
Rushmore...
Pick
wisely, Norris.
I have decreed that the winner is Daniel.
Yes!
The winner's Daniel.
Yes!
Now
before me, peasants.
Here's, here's why.
No, here is why. Simply because Kevin argued against his own point, and Jacob was very close to winning, but I think that... If you're talking about foundational franchises and talking about Battle Royales, you got to talk about H1Z1, which is what everything took from.
That's true. See, everyone forgot about it.
So it was a very, very good list up until that point. And on top of that, guys, mobile gaming makes more money than almost any genre of gaming out there. So it is very important to put that in the list. But... now that we have our winner, unfortunately, that's going to be it for the show today. I want to thank everybody out there at the UNLV studios. That's going to be Daniel Agbuya, Jacob Brothers, Managing Editor Kevin Kelly, Leslie Fitzsimmons, Jennifer Ream, Ben Morse, and Emily Neal, who helps us out with editing as well. We also want to thank all of the wonderful people here in our Detroit studio. That's going to be Chad Callahan, Nate Bender, and Joe Sloan. And most of all, we want to thank you for joining us and helping spread the word about collegiate esports. We will see you here. We demand you be here next week for more Checkpoint XP on campus. See you later.
I love you very much.
Take care of yourself.